Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
As long as you think that there is something that you can do, we're going to keep doing it. As long as you think that there are things that you can do, we're going to keep doing those things. And when Pastor Mike was praying just now, he was praying, and I think several of the songs that we were doing, we're talking along those lines as well, just thanking the Lord for all that he had done, and thanking the Lord for saving us, you know, that he's our Savior, right? So let's just, if we can just think about that for a second. You know, we don't, and maybe the way that Christians put it sometimes is that you make him your Savior, but you understand, right? You don't really actually make him your Savior. You accept salvation, but you don't make him your Savior. He's the Savior of the world, even if nobody accepts him. He saved the world. And the Lord says, and if we have time, we'll read that in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10 or 2 Corinthians 10, but where he says, you know, that because all, right, everyone was dead in their sins, then because he died for all. Now, listen to that for a second. Jesus died for all. He died for all people, every single person on this earth, right? In other words, the person that you would see that is disobedient, or like Pastor Mike was talking about, lawlessness, the things that you physically see in people's lives, that you see this huge difference between Christians and people that have all this these other ways of life, right? He died for those people and died for you, right? But when you see a problem in your life, you've been learning for a long time that Jesus did something for what you're going through. But when you see, you know, so looking at the things in your own life is very applicable. That's good for you to see something in your life, right? And your eyes are drawn away from the gospel and you feel something, or you see something going on in your own body, in your life, in your mind, in the way that you're thinking, right? It's good to know and to acknowledge the Lord, because there is something that he's done, right? He delivered this world from death, destruction, from the pollution of the world. He's done those things. He saved you. He saved you. So let's look at it this way first. So in yourself, and let's just talk about ourselves, right? Christians, ourselves. There's never anything that you'll see that needs to, quote unquote, be fixed in your life that you need to do something about it. And as long as you think that there is something that you can do about something that's going on in your life, you're going to do it, right? In other words, if you have a huge problem with, let's say, you know what, you want to quit smoking. You just don't want to, you don't want to smoke anymore, or you don't want to do drugs, or there's something that you want to stop in your life. As long as there's something that you think that you can do, you're going to continue to do it all the time. You're going to continue to do it because there's something you can do. There's something you want to stop. So you think, and this is how we were talking about it. You sort of take inventory in your life and you say, okay, what can I do? And then you come up with something and then you do it. But let me just bring you to a verse. Can we just turn real quick to John 15 and verse number 5? Right? And this is the Lord Jesus talking. Look what he says. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that stays in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So the context of this, and I just want us to look at it just brand new, like you're just hearing, that's all. And I think sometimes we say that like I just said, hear it brand new, but it's not about hearing it brand new. It's not about hearing it with new ears or old ears. It's just about listening to the things that the Lord can speak to you, right, by his Spirit. So he says, he's talking about fruit, and fruit is anything that is profitable, right? Anything that is profitable of God is fruit, right? Any supply of the Spirit is fruit. Any supply of the Spirit. And the Lord talks about the supply of the Spirit in many places. So anything that the Spirit of God supplies to your life is fruit. And here's what he says. Without me, you can't be fruitful. So here's what it is. So when you see a problem in your life, the opposite or the solution to that problem is the fruitfulness or the supply of the Spirit of God, right? So if you have an issue and something that you know needs to stop in your life, there's something called temperance that you need of the Spirit of God. Temperance, in other words, it's not self-control. And some translations, here again, Pastor Mike was talking about translations. Some translations translate the fruit of the Spirit as self-control. Well, if you're over there and the Spirit of God is over here, and obviously I know that he lives in you, but just for just demonstration purposes in our mind, if you're over there and he's over here, and the Spirit of God can give you temperance, but you have self-control, how can it be the fruit of the Spirit? If you have self-control, you're over there, right? If I can give you temperance and I'm over here, but you say, no, I don't need your temperance because I have self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is not self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance means, in other words, that it's the control of the Spirit of God in your life, right? But here, again, here's the thing. We read those things and we know about the power of God in our lives, right? But honestly, listen, I know it for a fact that there are people in here, even this morning, right, that we believe that there is something that we can do about stuff. Just let's talk about our own lives right now. You believe in your mind when you come across issues, and I don't know if we, you know, I don't think we do it on purpose all the time, but when a problem presents itself, no matter what it is, you think there's something that you can do that's greater than acknowledging the exceeding greatness of the power of God in you. You know what I'm saying? In other words, this is something you could do. When something happens in your life, you could be acknowledging the Lord like you have been throughout your day. Or you can stop and you can take inventory of your powers and say, what can I do? And then find the grand idea that is something other than acknowledging the power of God in you and then go to doing that. You see what the problem is? We see a problem in our life when we take inventory and we say, since this is what I can do, I can do it. And you know, this was an example that we used on Friday, right? Jesus was with his disciples, right? Now you don't have to raise your hand, but we all know, right, that he said himself that unto him it was given the power to give life, right? That whether that's healing someone or raising somebody from the dead, Jesus Christ obviously lived and walked with the power of God on the inside of him, right? And he was come and he was told that one of his greatest friends, which is Lazarus, and you find out later on that they were very good friends, right? So here's what you find out. The one that holds all of the power of God on the inside of him at that time was told that his friend was sick unto death. So let me ask you, is this what he did? In other words, is this how Jesus lived his life? Did he sit there and say, okay, he's just going about his business, having fun with his disciples, and they were out, they were having a barbecue, you know, having a good time, and then somebody comes and then ruins the moment and says, Jesus, the one that you love, Lazarus, he is sick unto death. And he says, oh, my God, that's bad. Let's drop everything and let's stop hanging out with you guys and let me go over there because I have the power to fix that. Is that like how we think that things should go? Because we're used to that, right? And I make reference to superheroes because honestly, we treat a lot of the times the things of the Spirit of God like they're powers for Christians, right? Because here's what we think. Well, if you are the Flash or if you're Superman and you see something wrong, it is your duty because with great power comes great responsibility. So you have to go fix that because you have the power to do it, right? But the thing is, that's not what Jesus did, right? What did he do? He delayed 2 days. And then Lazarus died, and then he went. Because what was his ultimate point? He said, I have not come. Listen to what Jesus said. I have not come, and he came, right? He came. But here's what Jesus said. I have not come to do my own will. But he came to fulfill everything by the power of God on the inside of him. So listen, as long as we believe that there is something that we can do for ourselves, we are going to do it. If that's what you believe, that there, because here's how many people think. Yeah, I know the whole thing about the power of God. But naturally speaking, there's a lot that we can do, right? But that's not true, right? Without the Lord, there is absolutely not one single solitary thing that a human being of themselves can do that is called fruitfulness. It is not true. Natural things are not fruitful. Think of any example in your life. Any example in your life, any at all whatsoever. A person that is dying of hunger has a problem. If they have no food, they got a couple of problems. Number one, they got no food. Number two, they have no source from where to get the food. So there's a lot lacking in that person's life. Basically, they are suffering of not hunger, but of poverty.
So you think that, okay, what can I do? You see somebody that needs food. So you think, what should I do, Lord? So you go real quick because a Christian, listen, Christians, if you are a true Christian, if you see somebody hungry, you ought to do something, right? Do you see the mentality? People think that because you're a Christian, if you see a need, you should meet that need. You. We're not talking about Jesus. People think that because you're a Christian, you need to meet needs. But when the disciples saw the 5,000 hungering, what was the, see, here's what happened. They saw 5,000 men and women and children. And Philip said, right, the Lord said to Philip, feed them. In other words, right, you're a Christian, feed them. But what was his problem? But Lord, there's too many. But if it would have been one, it would have been all right, right? If it would have been two, it would have been okay. If it would have been two people there and Jesus said to Philip, feed them, he would have said, okay, I'll be right back, Lord. I'm going to go to McDonald's and get two cheeseburgers and I'm going to give it to them, right? That's not the point. The point was not feed the poor. The point was give the poor something to eat, but they're showing them, they're being taught. There's a purpose why the Lord fed them. It wasn't just to give them food, because what have you done? What have any of us done? When we give food to the poor, what have we done? If you think that that is your point, that if somebody has a problem, that you're going to do it, and you're going to get, what have you fixed? Tomorrow, they're going to hunger again. Are you going to be there tomorrow? Are you going to be there the next day? Are you going to be there the next day after that? You haven't solved their problem. They're going to forever be hungry unless their soul can prosper. If somebody is depressed, and you try to cheer them up, you know what? So-and-so, you know what? They've been so down. You know, ever since they lost their family member, they've been really down. You know what? We're going to be going to Great Adventure. Why don't we just bring them? Right? Because that's awesome, right? Because if you can take and bring a friend to Great Adventure, that's going to solve the problems of their life, right? They're going to start thinking correctly about death because you brought them to Great Adventure, right? You see what the issue is? As long as we think that there is something that we can do, we're going to do it. It goes for your life and other people's lives, right? It goes for our children, right? Listen what we want. We want the best for our children. But so many times we don't give them the best. We give them us. You don't give them the best. You give them you. And I get it. We do it with a good heart, with good meaning. I mean, you would give somebody a sandwich with a good intention. But good intentions don't do nothing. Listen, without the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we can do nothing. Listen, that is such a great thing for us to allow the Lord to teach us, right? That you would know, listen, in my life, if you see any problem, you think that you're overweight, you think you're too skinny, you're suffering from anorexia, you're doing this, you're doing that, you hear cancer, you hear any, listen, it's not really that you need Jesus for the 5,000, but you can handle the two. It's not really true that you need Jesus when you hear cancer, but if you just stub your toe and your toenail is lifted off your foot, then that I can handle that because I can put a piece of gauze, or I can do that, or I can put a little bit of this, right? Listen, it's not really that you need you for the little stuff and Jesus for the big stuff. If you have 5,000 to feed, I need Jesus. If I have two to feed, I can grab that because I can bring them over my house. So I'll get Jesus for the hard stuff and I can handle the little stuff. As long as we think that you can do something fruitful, you're going to do it. But when you can see, when the Lord can bring you to the place in your life as you're listening to him, and he can tell you, you know, without me, you will not do anything fruitful in your life. Listen, there's no need. Our boast, can I tell you this? Listen, our boast, if we really look, and because we love the Lord, because the Lord lives and has made his home on the inside of us, we want God to be glorified. What good is it, honestly, listen to me, honestly, what good is it for you to give someone something and them look at you and say, Miss, I just want to thank you so much. I don't know how you knew that, but I needed a sandwich so bad. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you so much. And you go away and you're like, oh, you're so good, Lord. Right? But what you do, you just puffed up with all the pride in the world, because it feels so good on the inside of you. It feels so good in here that you did something, right? But listen, if we could just see, listen, that without him, there is nothing. If you see a need in your life, that you would acknowledge him. That you would acknowledge him, that you see a need in the life of your daughter, that you see a need in the life of your son, that you see a need in the life of your wife. You're looking at your wife and you see a need. What is the first thing going to be? You know, I've noticed my wife has been really down. I mean, like, not that she's just been upset about something, but she has been really down. You know what? Maybe I'll just take her out to dinner today. And you know what? I'll do the dishes for her. Right? Because there's something I can do, right? Because if I take her out to Brother Bruno's to have pizza, that's really going to help this woman, right? That has problems in the way that she thinks, that has problems in the way that she's living, that is suffering deep inside. But if I can take her for a slice of pizza, that's going to help her, right? You see the stupidity that there is in us trying to find solutions to the problems of a world that, listen, has been saved already. You understand? Listen, when you see somebody hungry, they have been saved. My God, He saved them. He saved them. When He did all that He supplied on the cross, it was them that He was doing it for. Was He doing it for you? Yes, but it was them that He was dying for. How would we ever substitute that? Why would we ever think that there is any other way? That there is any other way? Why would we ever think that there is actually some other way that somebody could be helped? Look at your own life. Have you ever actually ever been helped in any other way, really, truly, other than by the Lord? It hasn't ever really been helped. It could have temporarily done something for you, but that's not called help. Listen, if a person is dying in a bed and a doctor comes around and makes them comfortable and gives them morphine, has it really solved the issue? They're still dying. They're just dying comfortably. So the world is dying. We see people, our family members, that are dying because of their lack of knowledge of God. And you know what we want to do? We want to make them comfortable as they die. Let's just make them comfortable. So you know what you do? So when you see them, you treat them nicely. When you see them, you talk to them nicely. When you see them, you talk to them about anything that is not the gospel because you don't want to upset them. So you're going to just make small conversation with them and talk at length with them about how everything is really okay when they're actually dying and going to hell. But we're going to talk to them about sweet nothings in order to make them comfortable in their death. Listen, as long as we think that there is something that we can do, we will continue to do it. We're going to continue to do it because there's something that I can do. Because you think that it got your results last time. So you have a problem that you can't stop eating because you're depressed. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to get on Oprah Winfrey's diet because it's worked so well for her, right? It's worked so well for her. You don't see her go up and down. I mean, it's just brought her deliverance. She's felt like she just came to heaven because look at what she did. And she gave you this miracle way of controlling yourself, right? There is none. There is no way to control the flesh if not by faith. The flesh cannot be tamed by a man. Flesh cannot be tamed by men. It cannot be tamed by men. You can take a lion and you can tame a lion, but if you look the other way, he will bite your head off. You don't tame flesh, right? And if you have tamed it, in other words, you've calmed it down, the beast is still in there, right? So in you, the only help for humanity is not to calm the beast, right? It's to circumcise them of the flesh. And the only way for the heart, if you are already saved, the only help that there is for your heart is not to try to change the way you think, but to allow him to circumcise your heart. The only one that has the power to circumcise a human heart is Jesus. The only one that has the power to circumcise the body from an individual is Jesus. Listen, if we could just allow the Lord to bring us to that place that we can say, Lord Jesus, without you, there is no help for anyone. You know what would happen? The acknowledgement of God in your life will increase. You know why? Because before you take inventory of what you can do, the Lord told Philip, feed them. He says, Lord, I can't feed them, even if I went and did this and that. But he didn't acknowledge the fact that Jesus is standing right next to him. He's just looking at his own ability and say, what kind of thing is that to ask me to do, Lord? You're trying to ask me to feed all these people? What kind of pressure is that on me now? Listen, there's no pressure. There's no pressure in being a father. There is no pressure in being a mother. There is no pressure in being a child, a boss. There is no pressure of being a business owner. You don't live with the pressure of the people that God has put you in charge of, right? The acknowledgement of God and the supply of the Spirit within you is great enough to meet the needs of anyone that would ever look to you for leadership in your life. The supply of the Spirit on the inside of you is more than enough, more than enough. where we are pressured, where is it that we're pressured? As mothers and fathers and business owners, right? And bosses and CEOs, where is it that we're pressured? Where is it that fathers are pressured? When a wife looks to the husband and says, you know what? I've been taking care of the kids, sweetie. But you know what? But you know, that job of yours is not cutting it. You got to do something. So you know what the man does? He retreats back and says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do? You see what happens? You take inventory. What powers do I have? What can I still do? What can I do that's going to fix this thing? And instead, the response should always be, whether you see something or somebody comes next to you and takes all their problems and dumps them on your lap, right? Because people love to do that. They take all their problems that they have, right, because of their lack of knowledge of who Jesus is, and they want to take all that and dump it on your lap. So you know what you do? Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. You can't fix their problems. You can't fix your own problems. How are you going to fix theirs? Look, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. You see how different things could be? Pastor Mike was talking about something just before, and he said something very simple, right? Faith comes by hearing. And if you know that it can be unto you in your life according to your faith, and that it can be in the life of your loved ones according to their faith in Jesus, right? How important do you think it would be for the Word of God to be spoken out of you by the Spirit of God? How important is that going to be? You know, the Lord says, how can they hear if somebody doesn't tell them? And how can they go if they're not sent? Right? But how can any of that happen if we don't hear? Galatians 3 talks about this. He says, you were saved by the hearing of faith. That's how you were saved, by the hearing of faith. He said, why are you now, and listen what he called them. He called these people that he loves, you know what he called the Galatians? Foolish. And he wasn't trying to insult them. He's trying to tell them how foolish, how ignorant, how ridiculous that way of thinking is. You were saved by the supply of the Spirit. You knew that you have a need. You heard and you believed. Listen to what that is. It's just simple. They heard and they believed and they were saved. You know what they were trying to do from there now? After they were saved, they were trying to perfect themselves. They were saved because they believed. Faith, that's called. Then they were trying to fix themselves the rest of the way. Right? Because isn't that what happens? Jesus Christ came so that we could be saved, right? Just saved from hell, really, that's all. And then the rest of your life, he's just saying, you know what? You got to do the best you can. Right? That's how we're supposed to live, right? We get saved, which only means, right, that we're going to heaven, and then we just do the best that we can the rest of our life, right? That's not true. When you were saved, you were delivered out of this world. You were saved from destruction. And you were supplied, listen, you were given the Holy Spirit. Why? Why would he do that? Why would God not just pay the penalty for you not to go to hell? And then that's it. Isn't that enough? If Jesus Christ paid for you not to have to go to hell, that's enough. He doesn't have to come live in you. Just he did that. He paid for your sin, so that's good. Even if you live like hell on this earth, you're still going to go to heaven, right? Doesn't matter really what happens, but that's not what he did, right? He gave you his own spirit. He put it on the inside of you. Why? Why would he put a spirit in you that would become in you like a fountain of living water? Why would he go to that extreme to put his spirit in you? You know why? So that by faith, you could receive life in this world. Because you know what his idea is? That you would have life and have life abundantly, and that you would reign in this life. And that as he reigns in you, others would also receive life. The desire of God is that people would receive life. The will of God is that people would receive life. Look at what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of God constrains us because we thus judge. It says that if one died for all, then all. He says, then we're all dead. And you know what? Let's do this real quick. Let's go. So he said, then we're all dead. And verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not from now on live to themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. Why, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from now on, know him no more, right, after the flesh.
Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And these all things, right, they are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling. What was he reconciling? The world. That's important. He wasn't reconciling Christians. He was reconciling the world to himself. The world, everyone. The prostitute, the murderer, the liar, the fornicator, all. In other words, before Christ did that, all of us fell into one of those categories, right? All of us were lawless people. All of us were lawless. We were sinners. We were transgressors. We were all of it. All of it. And he did that for the world. In other words, he didn't do it after someone believed, right? He didn't first preach and people had faith and then he died, right? But he died for us while we were yet sinners, right? Listen, if he died for you while you were yet a sinner, how many sinners did he die for? All of them. All of them. Every single person before Jesus and after them. Before him and after him. Look at what it says. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Another way to say the word of reconciliation is also translated the ministry of reconciliation. You see what the task is? The task is a word that is spoken. Listen. When you see a need in your family, it's the Lord in you. It's the Spirit of God that they need. It's the Spirit of God that they need. When you see a problem in your own life, it's the Spirit of God that you need. When you see a problem in your own life, it is the Spirit of God that you need. When you see a problem in the life of another one that you love, the love that you feel towards them does not obligate you to act before you acknowledge the Lord. The love that you feel towards a family member does not bind you to this oppressive thought that you have to do something before the Lord does something. Because you are the husband does not mean that it is your responsibility when you see a need in your family for you to do something before God does something. Because after all, you have to do something, right? Because you're the father. That's living with the pressure and the bondage of other people in your life. And you can't take that. Don't we see that in so many places? How many people do you have to see crack and become depressed until we understand that human beings are not built to handle the problems of themselves and the problems of the world? They can't handle it. None of us can. If we could have handled it, Jesus would not have had to come. If we could do it, we don't need him. Listen, if I can handle my little problems, then I can handle my big ones. If I can feed two, then I can feed 5,000. I just need more food. Listen. If I can feed two, I can feed 5,000. I don't need Jesus. If I can save people, if I can save people from destruction, I don't need Jesus. But you see, what the main thing is, if you can see in your life, Lord, there is really, Lord, nothing that I can do. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. So you know what that would do? You would enter into this thing called rest. You would enter into this thing called rest. That comes from faith in the Lord Jesus. You know what? When somebody throws a problem on your lap, or when you throw your own problem on your own lap, and you just begin, thank you, Jesus. I just acknowledge you, Lord. I thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I just acknowledge you. I just acknowledge you, Lord. Without you, I can do nothing. So therefore, I'm not going to do nothing. When in other words, when your mind tells you, well, you can't just do nothing, right? You're like, you're right. Anything that I would do would be nothing. So therefore, I'm not going to do it because that's not going to help. Because that's not gonna help. You know, and I know, even to the extent of the things that we've shared, some of you are still sitting in there saying, well, that's not really true, because I remember I have done things and they have helped. Really, have they? If you would have continued just doing what you did, would that have really helped? Right? Here's what people do. They wanna do a good Christian thing. So they have a next door neighbor who doesn't have a car. So they start bringing that neighbor to church, right? Because that's the Christian thing to do, right? Bring them to church. You gotta put them. Listen, that is an unwritten law, and it's probably in the book of Bubba Head chapter 5, right? That if you have a car, it is your Christian duty to give other people a ride to church. And if you don't do that, you're not a good Christian. That's the law of God. So here's what happens. So you start doing it. But after a while, you're like really tired of doing this now.
So you know what happens? You say, you know, you go to your next door neighbor's house and you say, listen, I just want to tell you, you know, there's just seasons sometimes in your life. And I just really feel that my season's up. You know, I mean, you know, there was a season where I was kind of giving you a ride, but now, you know, the season's changed because the Lord's brought me. He's bringing me into a new season. And I just think now the time is done for me to now, you know, so, yep, you're going to have to find your own ride to church. And that's it. But so what do we do? So because you took that person to church, God knows how many times, is that what you were supposed to do? You see what the thing is? We think that we're supposed to do something. There is something other than the one thing that Christ said Mary had found, and that one thing would not be taken from her. We think that there is actually another thing that we need to do, that there are other things. It's really not just the one thing. There are other things that we're supposed to be doing. You should be doing something else other than acknowledging God, right? But the truth is, here's the truth, there is not two things. There's not three and there's not another. There's just really one. And the desire of God is that the Spirit of God on the inside of you would meet the needs of all people if they would just look to Him. Can God do things through your life? Can a miracle happen in somebody else's life? Listen, let's just go there real quick to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse number 1 is good. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You want to be obedient? Listen to the truth. Listen to the truth. What is the obedience of a Christian? Listen to the Lord. That's your obedience. You want to be obedient? Listen to Him. Nowhere did Jesus say, if you want to be obedient to me, feed the poor. Actually, He told Peter, He said, do you love me? How many times did He ask him? Three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And it was only after He was showing him the importance of loving God that He was telling him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He wasn't saying, do you love the lambs? Go feed them. Do you love the poor? Go give them money. That's not the answer. The answer to the world is not to give money to those that need money and to give food to those that need food. That's what the world thinks the answer is. That's what the world thinks the answer is to hunger. They want to stamp out hunger, right? They want to stamp out hunger. ShopRite wants to stamp out hunger, and they want you to round off to the next dollar so you can give them from your money so that they can stamp out hunger. They will never stamp out hunger. Never. ShopRite, along with every other national supermarket, if all of them got together, every supermarket that exists across the world, they would not stamp out hunger. Listen, I remember them saying to my mom, giving me this story about the home country, right, where they're from in Dominican Republic. And here's what the government did. They took all of the farmers that live in these little shacks built out of just metal. And what they did is they knocked down all of their shacks and they built buildings for them. Apartment buildings with good, nice apartments, right? And they said, we'll put you all in there. They want to beautify the country. So what they did is they destroyed it all and they put them all in these buildings, right? You know what the farmers did? They sold the apartment and went back to living on the mountain. So the answer to people is not for you to think that you have a better solution for them, that your bright idea is going to fix the world. You have a desire in here to change the world, but what you think will change the world will never change the world. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. All of the world can amass all of their power together, and they still will never fix the problem. You know why? Because the world doesn't have to be saved. Can we please hear that, right? The world does not have to be saved. The world does not have to be saved. Your wife does not have to be saved, even though we say it like that. Your husband doesn't have to be saved. Your child doesn't have to be saved. People don't have to be saved. They have already been saved. They have already been reconciled to God. What do they have to accept? The reconciliation that's already theirs. That's why you have a ministry called the Ministry of Reconciliation. And the ministering that is done by the Spirit of God on the inside of us, right? He does that. He is the only one that can minister. So when you hear about a ministry, people say they have a ministry. Oh, well, my ministry is this and my ministry is that. Hopefully what they mean is that that's what the Spirit of God is doing through them and that they actually don't think that that's their ministry. Because when a person starts ministering, look out, because trouble is going to happen. Nothing, or maybe I shouldn't say trouble, nothing is going to happen. When a ministry is of a man, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Look in Galatians chapter 3 again, and we will close there, like I said. He says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? In other words, because of their faith in what Jesus has done. It's been evident. It was knowing because, right, you were saved. So before your eyes, you know what he did for you on the cross, right? That doesn't mean that they were all there during the crucifixion. It meant that they believed by faith, the Galatians, right? It said, this only I would learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law? In other words, by your own works or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit that you have in you now? Did you receive the Spirit of God in you now? Did you do that by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, or another way to say that is he that supplies the Spirit to you. He that supplies the Spirit to you. Look at what he says. Please hear this. He that supplies the Spirit to you, it says, and works miracles among you. So what are we talking about? Listen, we're talking about the supply of the Spirit. We're talking about miraculous things, right? The supply of the Spirit, miraculous things. He says, how does he do it? How does God do miracles on this earth? How does he do it? How does God supply his Spirit for any need? How does he do it? How does the Spirit of God meet any need, and how are miracles done? If you can answer that question, you will go after it. If you can answer that question, you will desire what it is. Look what he says. He says, in other words, the power of God and the works of miracles among you, does he do it, he says, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he says, even as Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteous, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same, he says, are children of Abraham. So here's what he's saying. How is it that the power of God works in the life of a believer? How is it that miracles are done in the world? You know how he said? By the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. So if you see somewhere where a miracle could be needed, if you see anywhere, if you look with your eyes in your life or in the life of someone else, and you see a need that the supply of the Spirit can meet, which pretty much is every problem, you know what you could know? The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is how that'll be done. The supply of the Spirit. So Paul was imprisoned. You know what he knew the answer to his imprisonment would be? Hearing. You know why? Because he said this too, writing in his letters while he was in prison, he said, this too will work out for my deliverance, he said, by the supply of the Spirit. So what does that mean between the lines? I'm just listening to Jesus. That's all I'm doing, is just listening to Jesus.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.